Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel tonight. I'd like to begin with singing hymn number 10 on your hymn sheet, if you have one. I think there was a little shortage, so if you don't have one, you might be able to look on with somebody else, or sing from memory. When I was looking to the Lord about what to speak on tonight from His precious Word, meditating a little, I discovered just before the prayer meeting that all the verses the Lord put on my heart were in the 10th chapter of something. In the 10th chapter. And then when I was thinking of a hymn, the hymn that came to my heart, I looked and it was the 10th hymn. And I wonder if there might be a lad tonight of 10 or a young lady of 10 years old that the Lord is speaking to tonight. If so, don't put it off. Time is gliding swiftly by. Well, whether you're 10 or not, you need the Lord. And if you are 10 tonight, I think the Lord has a message for you tonight from His Word. Hymn number 10. There is a Well, I mentioned before that the verses the Lord put on my heart were all in the 10th chapters. Tonight, three portions I'd like to turn to in the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter of Luke, and the 10th chapter of Romans. And I don't know why the Lord put on my heart. I wasn't looking for different things in chapter 10, but as the Lord seemed to bring some things before my heart, they all happened to be in chapter 10. So we sang hymn number 10 tonight, too. And I didn't know it was number 10 when I was thinking of the hymn. But I can't help but think, as I mentioned before, there's maybe someone who's 10 years old or close to her that the Lord is speaking to tonight, young or old. Before I read from the 10th of Ecclesiastes, there's another hymn that I'd like to sing, because you know, I love boys and girls. I had five of them myself, but it doesn't matter so much about my love. The Lord loves the boys and girls. He loves the children. And he says, let them come to me. And that's what he's saying tonight to every one of us. Let them come to me. And you won't be sorry if you come. Let's sing the first and last verse of number 41 on your hymn sheet. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing, children whose sins are all forgiven. Will heavenly anthems bring, singing, glory, glory, glory be to God on high. And I'm thankful that by the grace of God, I'm one of those children that are going to sing around the throne. Not because of what I am, but because of what the Lord Jesus has done for me by His grace. So we'll sing the first and last verse of number 41. If you have a Bible tonight, you could open it up with me at Ecclesiastes chapter 10. If you don't have one, just listen. That'll be fine. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. It's a fairly small book, but if you go to Psalms, then Proverbs, and it's next, Ecclesiastes. Not too hard to find. I only want to read one verse from there. And that's verse 7. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 7, it says this. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Now that may sound like quite a strange verse to begin the gospel meeting with, but perhaps you'll see as we go on what I had in mind, and I believe the Lord set before me. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Well, I'd like to speak tonight about the one who is the Prince of Life, the Lord of Glory, the Creator of heaven and earth. And in his word, we see him walking upon the earth. You know, there's a verse in, we're going to turn to it later in the 10th chapter of Romans, and it's quoted from the 52nd of Isaiah. It says, how beautiful are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. How beautiful are the feet. You know, our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus, came down from heaven's glory because he loved me, because he loved you, and wanted to bring eternal life to you. I came into the world, the Lord Jesus said, that you might have life, and that you might have it abundantly. Oh, what a Savior. That's the one we want to talk about tonight. The Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus. The one who was the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Glory. And the writer of Ecclesiastes, I've seen princes walking as servants. And by His grace, in His word, we too have seen the Prince of Life walking in this world in lowly grace. You know, he didn't have a car to ride in to drive, a motorcycle or anything like that, or he didn't even have a horse. One time he rode on a donkey to fulfill the scriptures, and he had to borrow that one. Oh, a prince who gave up all that he had and came because you and I were sinners. And he wanted to take us home to his home in glory. So he came and walked through this world, the weary paths of this world, for 33 years in love to your soul and to mine. Let's turn from this portion over to Luke chapter 10. The 10th chapter of Luke. We're not going to read all of this story. The story that's often called the story of the Good Samaritan. And it's an interesting story. We're just going to read part of it. Starting at verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves. Well, we'll stop there for a minute. A certain man, he was on a journey. He had a goal in mind. He was going to Jericho, fully expecting to arrive there. He probably knew that Jericho was called the city of palm trees, and that it was on the banks of the Jordan River. It would be a place that would be very desirable to go. And he had his plans and he had his purposes to make this journey and to end at Jericho. Probably he was going to settle there. I don't know what his purpose in going there. We're not told that, but that's where he was on the way to. And it looked like a good job to go to a city that was beautiful for situation. Somebody told Elisha one day that the city was beautiful for situation, but the water in it was no good. Bad water supply. And in wondrous grace, God allowed Elisha to heal the waters. God healed the waters through his prophet Elisha, made the city even a better place. But you know, if you went back in the history of it, you'd see that it was called the city of the curse. But boy, it looked pretty nice, didn't it? City of Palm Trees, it's called. And on the banks of the river. And this man had his plans to go down there. There was a man years before called Lot, and he got his eye on this valley by the Jordan River. It looked good to him, and he had his plans too to go there, but it ended in disaster for all of his family. You may have your plans. Perhaps tonight you have purposes and plans of getting an education, getting a degree, and settling down and having a good life. But you know, there's something in this man's journey that he didn't count on. He didn't count on. And that was, as he traveled along, he found there were thieves along the road. He fell among thieves. Do you know that sin is a great robber? A young man is born to the world, a young lady, so innocent looking, happy, no cares in the world. But it isn't long, and we see that there's a nature that is sinful. So God has concluded in His Word that there's not one righteous, no, not one. That all of us are sinners. How about a young boy? How about a young girl? Are they a sinner? Well, you say, no, no. I've never done anything very bad. But you know, the Word of God concludes that that all have sinned. Sin is a robber. Did you know that? Sin is a thief. Not only will it rob you, but you know, God in His love created you. You belong to Him by creation. But you know, sin robs God of what is His right. Sin robs God. Sin is a great robber. Sin robbed this man as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves. I suppose he was traveling happily along, thinking of what he was going to do when he got to Jericho, and the good times he was expecting, and the prosperity perhaps he had in mind. Maybe he was going into business there. I don't know. Maybe he was going to finish his education, school in Jericho. Whatever it was, I don't think he was expecting, because a thief is usually one that comes unexpected and unwanted. But in any case, he fell among thieves who robbed him. They didn't care about his plans. You know, Satan doesn't care about you either. And this world doesn't care about you except for what they can get out of you. How many cases we've heard of a young man or young woman who got their education, got a good job at a good company, they thought it was, and worked for some years, and then I guess the company would look at the situation and decide, well, this young man's getting pretty high pay. I think we'll lay him off. Plans are spoiled. plans are ruined. Something comes in to change the expectations. Well, this world's like that, isn't it? There's nothing in this world that'll satisfy the soul, but far worse, God looks down and sees what's in the heart and the soul, and He has to pronounce that all are sinners. There is none righteous. We've all gone our own way, and perhaps you're still going on that way, and perhaps you're going on that way happily. You think everything's okay, just fine. But around that bend, around that corner, the thieves are hiding. Yeah. So this man met with thieves, and they didn't leave much. All that he had, they left him wounded. Verse 30, he fell among thieves who stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. What happened to his plans? What happened to his hopes, his expectations, his purposes? Smashed. Smashed. He had nobody. There he was, alone on the side of the road. A hit and run. Well, sin does that. Does God care? You know, I think of, we won't take time to turn to, but I think of the Song of Solomon in chapter 8, how it speaks there of jealousy being cruel as the grave. Maybe I should turn to it, because I am not quoting just right, but you won't have to turn to them. Just over in the Song of Solomon, it's just right after Ecclesiastes. Chapter 8, it says this. I'll read from verse 6. It's verse 7 I'm thinking of. Set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave, the coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man should give all the substance of his house for love, he would utterly be contemned. Well, it was verse 6 I was thinking of. Now, why do we read about jealousy here? I think the thought I've enjoyed on this verse is that the Lord made you and I, and He made you and I with a purpose. You know, when sin came in and spoiled everything in this world, we read in the 6th chapter of Genesis that it grieved God at His heart. It grieved Him at His heart. Does God care tonight if you're lost? Does He care tonight if you're on the way to a lost eternity? God does care. God knows who you are. God loves you. Sin robbed God. Our sins rob God of His due and His right. Does God care? Oh, His jealous love is looking down tonight in this room, and He's pleading with you. That's why He's allowed another gospel meeting, because He loves your soul, and sin has robbed Him, and you cannot be, He cannot have you in His presence in glory in your sins. And God cares, and it says jealousy is cruel as the grave. Oh, why did the Lord Jesus Christ have to go into death? Why did He suffer at that cross of Calvary? Why was he forsaken there on the cross in those hours of darkness? It's because his jealous love for you. He wanted you. He wants to save your soul tonight. If you've never come to him yet, oh, wouldn't you come tonight? He loves you. He knows where you are. He knows what sin has done to you and to me. Oh, he came to save. He came to save. Many waters. You know, you boys here, you girls that are young, perhaps you haven't been through many waters in your life. Perhaps there hasn't been a whole lot of difficulties and troubles. Maybe there's some here tonight who've been through one sorrow after another. Does God care? Does God know? Yes, he loves you tonight. There's not one exception in this room tonight, because God loves you tonight and he loves me. But we've fallen amongst thieves. Oh, if your sins have never been washed in this precious blood, you're still like that man on the side of the road. But God cares. There's one who cares, and he knows your need. Well, he lay there helpless, hopeless, and along came a certain priest that way, and he looked at the feller. Well, he probably thought I could tell him to get religious, but he's robbed, he's got nothing, can't put anything in the collection, I'm going on. That priest was looking for somebody that might be of some good to him, perhaps, but there was no good to a man who was helpless. In your sins, you're helpless. God wants you. Well, religion never saved anyone. I've got my religion. How many times people have said to me, well, I've got my own religion. Well, perhaps they do. Perhaps you do. Religion never took anybody to heaven. Only Christ, the Savior. Well, he went on the other side of the road, the priest. I had a woman tell me one time, a couple of years ago, I'm the priest around here in this town. We were preaching the gospel in the tent. And a woman priestess, she said, I'm the priest. But anyway, she was all dressed up in a big robe, and she came right into the tent and said, I'm the priest around here. What are you doing here? Oh, I said to her, we're just telling out the good news of the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins. Don't you think I'm doing that? Well, I said, I'm glad if you are. If you are, we pray for you every day, because we pray for the gospel wherever it's told out in truth. So I said, if that's true, if you're telling out the good news, I'm praying for you. Well, she didn't know what to make of that. She said, well, I mean, you got to know there's more than one way to heaven. My dear son, Benj, he couldn't take that anymore. And he put up his finger. He said, lady, I'm telling you, there's only one way to heaven. It's the Lord Jesus. And that's what we're telling you tonight. There's only one way to glory. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. And this poor man didn't get any help from religion. From that priest, none. So, along came a Levite. And a Levite is a fellow who does the work. You know, he's a worker. And in the Old Testament, they carried the things across the wilderness. And afterward, they did other works like taught. They were teachers and other things. But anyway, he got a little closer. He came and looked at him. But there was nothing he could do. He couldn't tell the man to do some good works. There was nothing left that he could do. So he goes by on the other side. Oh, it's not good works. It's not reformation, not turning over a new leaf. You need the Savior. You need to have those sins forgiven by the man who came from glory and died for your sins on Calvary's cross. He's a wonderful Savior. Oh, he's a precious Savior. Do you know him? Do you know him? This man in the ditch on the Jericho Road, he didn't know the Savior, but the Savior knew him. There was one, it says, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Oh, the compassion. In the book of Romans, there's a verse something like this. And knowest not that it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. It's the goodness of God that has brought you to the gospel meeting tonight. And it's the goodness of God that's stirring your heart tonight, that's pleading with you to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Never mind the religion. Never mind the good works. You need Christ. You need the Lord Jesus, that precious man from the glory whose feet walked this pathway for 33 years, showing out what was in the heart of God, showing the love of God to you and to me. And then those feet of His led Him to that cross of Calvary, where He gave His life that I might be saved, where He paid the penalty of sin. He alone can forgive your sin. There's no other that can forgive your sins. I always enjoy a little story, a true story of a woman who was very sick in the hospital. She was an older woman. She knew she didn't have much longer to live. And at the hospital, they knew she was getting near the end. So they thought they, in kindness, as they thought, in politeness, they would call a priest to maybe help her. So they called a priest, and he came in, and he said, "Lady," he said, "I've come here to give you absolution." "What?" she said. "Yeah," he said, "absolution." She was a little confused by the word. Said, "What's that?" "You know," she said, "to forgive your sins." And she was a little taken aback at that, and her shaky hand came out, and she said, "Sir," she said, "let me see your hand. Could I see your hand?" So he held out his hand. "Oh," she said, "the man that forgave my sins has holes in his hands. It's the Savior. There's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's only the Lord Jesus." Well, you may not be an old lady sick in bed. I don't think so. It doesn't look like it. And you may not have been robbed on the road to Jericho. But you need the Savior just the same. Because unless those sins are forgiven, you're on a downward road that leads to a lost eternity. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. You don't need religion. You don't need good works. Although, when you're saved, good works are important. God ordained that we should walk in them. But they'll never take you home to heaven. Ever. Well, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he was on a journey. Doesn't say that about the priest and the Levite. They just happened by. By chance they came. But here's a man who took a journey And he's a picture of the Lord of glory who took a journey from heaven's glory right down to where we were. He came down to this sin-filled world in love to my soul and to yours. He gave his life. Oh, what a Savior. We sang, no, we didn't sing it tonight, but we sometimes sing, oh, what a Savior that he died for me. From condemnation he set me free. Do you know that Savior? Is he your Savior? Can you gladly say, yes, he died for me? I know the Lord. I hope you can. Well, this Samaritan came with a purpose. As he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Compassion. Wonderful to meet a man that has compassion. I remember as a lad, probably some of you boys' age, I was coming home from school, and there was a big bully fella, and he liked to fight, and he just beat the tar out of me. I gotta admit it. I didn't stand a chance. Just beat me right up. And I came home like a baby bawling my eyes out. And there was a brother, Mr. Anderson, from Des Moines. He was visiting. And I thought probably I'd get a little sympathy, you know. So I was telling him how this big feller hit me with his fist and knocked me in the ditch and all this, and feeling real sorry for myself and kind of blubbering a little, I guess. You know what he said to me? He said, if a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies, he'll be at peace with him. Well, I had a hard time forgiving him. But anyway, I love the dear brother. Got to know him well as years went by. But you know, it's easy to get in difficulties and troubles along the way. And even a dear man like Mr. Anderson couldn't save me. I got a big rebuke. I had it coming too, I know. But it was good for me. I thought of it many times over the years. Well, here was the Samaritan. He came right down where he was. He got right down there. The man was knocked off the road in the ditch probably, and he came right there. And he got right down where he was. He knew his every need. The Lord Jesus came where I was when he went to the cross of Calvary. I was a hell-deserving sinner. By his grace, the Lord Jesus came where I was. He took my place on the cross. He wants to take your place. Will you have him? Would you receive him? Suppose this man said, oh, nah, you're a Samaritan. I don't want your help. Well, he probably would have been bones down there somewhere, even yet. Well, what a wonderful Samaritan. Now, here's the part I was thinking about, the beast and the walking. This man, it says, he went to him, he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Took care of him. Took care of him. Isn't that good? Well, the man, I would dare say, was probably walking on his journey, but here came one who cared for him, one who had compassion on him, and he picks him up and puts him on his own beast. And that man had to walk the rest of the journey, I'm sure, because that donkey or whatever he was riding carried that dear man from the ditch, that man that was so helpless and so hopeless, picked up by this dear man. And the dear man walked. And And he rode the donkey, or the horse, or whatever it might have been. Set him on his own beast and took care of him. I think that's so sweet. He brought him to the inn where he would be looked after, where he would be safe, where he would be cared for. And he footed the bill. He paid the man at the inn. He said, when I come again, if you spend anything more, I'll pay it. Oh, the man heard him say it, I'm sure. I'm coming again. I'm coming back. Are you looking for the Lord to come? Does that thrill your heart to think that perhaps this very night the heavens will open, the Lord of glory will come and call all those who belong to Him, all those whose sins are forgiven, to be at home in the Father's house with Him? What a precious Savior. What a Savior. I want to turn to one more 10th chapter. We could spend a lot of time on this, but the 10th chapter of Romans. I love this chapter. There's one verse in this chapter that's my very favorite. And my son over there could tell you what it is, because he's heard me speak on it many times. It's the 13th verse of this chapter. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, isn't that wonderful? The Lord, whosoever shall call upon the Lord, the one who came from glory and whose beautiful feet brought that glad tidings from heaven, brought the gospel of God, the man who came where we were in love. Do you know him? He wants to take you to his home in glory. Oh, he'll take you over the rough road riding on his own beast. Ah, yes, he walked this weary world himself for those 33 and a half years. And he knows every sorrow, every trouble that you feel and will feel. And he loves you. And he gives that comfort of the way. And he says he takes care of him. What a Savior. It's one thing, you know, to get rescued and helped, and then somebody goes on their way, leaves you. Oh, this Samaritan, he brought him to the inn. He took care of him. He paid the debt. Yes, the Lord Jesus has paid the debt. Oh, he's paid a debt for me. My debt of sins that would have sunk me to eternal hell. Only takes one, you know. Only takes one sin. But he's calling to you tonight. Have you heard his voice? He's saying, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Perhaps there's someone here who intends to come sometime. Who intends? One day it'll be too late. Behold, now the Scripture says is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I have to tell you about a young fellow that used to come to the gospel quite a lot. When we had tent meetings, and we still do have tent meetings in Lark Harbor. When he was a young fellow, his name was Brucey. And Brucey was kind of a bad boy. Although he was a sinner. And if you're not saved, you're a sinner in your sins. Just as much as Brucey was, his sins kind of stuck out a little more because he'd throw rocks and dumped a pail of water in our window on Reg's bed in the trailer one day and things like this. And he would disrupt the meetings. Brucey heard the gospel, though, and he knew that he needed to be saved. And he wasn't too interested in that. He wanted to have a fun time. And Brucey had a motorcycle, a dirt bike, you know, and boy, he could do wheelies for a quarter mile down the road. And he loved to have a fun time. He was going to probably thought he'd think of serious things sometime down the road. There was all kinds of mischief. It was too much fun now. Well, Brucey grew up. And when he got older, he got a job out in Alberta. Well, this fall, I got a telephone call, and I heard the news on the telephone that Brucey was laid out in his father's home in a casket. Brucey had had one more fun time. He had a girlfriend. She was an Indian girl. So they stole a truck. They were going to have a little fun. One more fun time. He'd been in jail several times between now and then, but in a stolen truck, they were tearing down the road and they saw a policeman. That wasn't really the kind of person they wanted to see today. They saw a policeman, so they put the pedal to the metal, as they say, and off they went, and off into eternity. Brucey and his girlfriend were killed instantly. Crashed the stolen truck. We're in eternity. I think Brucey had good intentions of someday changing his life. It was too late. As I saw Brucey there in that casket in his father's house, he looked just the same as he did as a young lad. But he was in eternity. He put it off. Oh, if there's anyone here that's putting off your salvation, maybe Dad and Mom think you're saved. Maybe your neighbors think you're a good person. If anybody's going to go to heaven, it'll be you. If you're not saved, you're on the way to hell, to a lost eternity. You know, you can fool people. There was a man who came to the gospel tent for quite a few years. We had the tent up in Tizard's Harbor at this time, and there was an old man. He was 84 years old. He'd come to the tent for about the last 4 or 5 years. The tent was right near his house. And you know, he had me fooled. I thought he was a Christian. He always wanted to get a tract at the end of the meeting, and he read them too, a booklet. His name was Sid Boyd. Maybe Stan remembers him, I don't know. He met him, I know. Sid was seemed like a really good man. He always came to the meetings. I never asked him, "Are you saved, Sid?" I just supposed he was. But he, you know, time went by and Sid lost his wife. His wife was younger, quite a bit younger than he was. She was washing dishes one day at the sink and just fell over backwards, dead on the floor. That shook Sid up a lot. Made him think of eternity. Well, Sid moved in with his daughter for that winter, and he was back home, I think it was in March or so, at his house. I went to visit him. All this time I thought, I'm sure Sid's a Christian. He's always come to the meetings and he reads the tracts and all these things. So I went to visit him and he said to me, "Cease," he said, "I'd done it." I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, "You done it? What'd you do, Sid?" "Oh," he said, "Cease, I done it." Still didn't know what he was talking about. I'm really dense, you know. Well, I said, "Sid, what did you do?" Oh, the tears started coming down his face. "Oh," he said, "Cease," he said, "I got down on my knees and I asked the Lord Jesus to save my soul. I done it." "Have you done it?" Don't wait till you're 84, because you might not get there. I done it. Oh, we wept together. It was a sweet moment. He's with the Lord now long ago. I done it. Have you done it? Have you asked the Lord Jesus to wash your sins away? He'll do it. It's not what you do, it's what He's done. Have you received what He's done? Oh, what a Savior is Jesus the Lord. Well, here in the 10th chapter of Romans, we have that beautiful verse, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, Peter did that once. He said, "Lord, save me." Did the Lord say, "Well, got to do some good deeds first"? No, He saved him right then. He reached out and saved him. If you call on the name of the Lord tonight, He'll save you tonight. He's longing to save you. He died to save you. He's calling once again. Won't you come? Won't you come? Don't wait till you're older, maybe forever and ever too late. Come now. The Scripture says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Come now, He says. Come now. Yeah. Today is the day of salvation. Behold, now, He says, is the accepted time. Time is gliding swiftly by. Death and judgment both draw nigh. I hope there's none that are going to go out through those doors still lost. Still lost. Won't you come? The Savior's waiting. I remember a dear girl, her name was Erica Oregon, down in La Poyle on the south coast. We were having some meetings there in a community center. And I was pleading with the children, the young ones, to get saved, to accept the Lord as their Savior. And I told them, we'd like to hear from you. If you receive the Lord, tell us. Because it says here, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, this was the last day we were there. We were going on the boat the next morning. It's a town where there's no roads. These children have never seen cars. Never had a ride in one, lots of them. Anyway, we were taking the boat early the next morning. And we got down to the wharf. I can't remember who was with me, but I think there was three of us. We got down to the wharf to catch the boat, and here was Erica on the wharf. And she said, "I wanted to get up early, come down and tell you that I received the Lord Jesus as my Savior." Oh, what a joy to hear a young girl, I don't know if she was 10 or what, but she was a young girl, and she confessed the Lord Jesus as her Savior. Oh, it's a thrill to the soul. Will you thrill the heart of someone tonight? Of course, especially it's a thrill to the heart of the Lord Jesus. If you'll confess Him as Lord, and I think you might have a mother or a father who'd be very thrilled to hear you confess Jesus as Lord. Perhaps you think you're saved. But have you ever confessed Him? I remember one night when the gospel was being preached at a conference, and Brother Albert Hale was preaching the gospel, and he was speaking on this verse about confessing with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. I got to thinking, I've been saved for quite a while, but I couldn't remember that I'd ever really said to someone, I'm saved. I know the Lord Jesus died for my sins. I'm a Christian. So I was sitting next to Doug Buchanan down here. So I said, "It's tonight or never. I'm going to confess the Lord tonight." I was saved for some time before that. But I just didn't confess the Lord. So I said to Doug, "Doug, I want to tell you that I'm saved. I know the Lord is my Savior." So Doug told me the same thing. And you know, it gives you peace in your soul. Because the Scripture says, if you'll confess with your mouth, what a wonderful Savior. Now I'm going to read one last verse and then we're closing. The 15th verse. We already quoted from the Old Testament. There's one word at least different in the New Testament. Here it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." We noticed in the Old Testament it said, how beautiful is the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. And I believe that refers to the Lord himself who came to bring the good tidings, the gospel, to you and to me. It's the Lord Jesus. He came from glory. His feet walked this weary world. He didn't have a beast to ride on to tell us the good news. Now here in Romans, after it speaks of confessing the Lord Jesus with your mouth, believing in your heart, it's got a word that says to me and to you, are you saved? Do you know the Lord is your Savior, dear young person? This is the Lord's estimation. How beautiful are the feet of them. The Old Testament's referring to him. It's the one, the Lord Jesus, who brought the good news from glory. But oh, dear young person, there's not much time left. And the Scripture says here, how beautiful are the feet of them. Are you going to be one of them that tell out the glad tidings? You know, there's lots of folks where you go to school who don't know the Lord. Or where you work who don't know the Lord. Oh, may you confess him. May your feet be those beautiful feet that send forth the glad tidings. Let's just close in prayer.